We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
What's going on, Virtually Limitless entrepreneurs? It's your man here, Trey Carmichael, coming at you with another episode of the Virtually Limitless podcast. And today I'm coming at you with my man, John. This is a special one. I've been following this guy for years. He started one of the most iconic brands in the entrepreneur space. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it for the people who don't know you, my man?
Well, first, man, it's my pleasure to be here and looking forward to our conversation. Yeah, you know, I've been an entrepreneur most of my life. I was forced into entrepreneurship because of my background, you know, not having, you know, what society says you're supposed to have to be successful. I don't have a college degree. Of course, I don't even have a high school diploma. And My first felony arrest, I was 15 years old, you know, led to incarceration, juvenile detention facilities, and 17 years old, had a heart attack from smoking cocaine, found myself just a complete mess and, you know, behind on everything, behind on life, killed, you know, so many relationships. And I found myself in this drug rehabilitation facility. I had a mentor in there. He was a former outlaw motorcycle gang member. His name was Dave. Dave was the first guy that really held the mirror up to my face. Dave was like, look, man, you're blaming the police, you blame your parents, you blame the school, you blame everybody, but the real person you should blame is yourself. And he was hard, man. Dave was a guy that you had to respect. And he was the first guy that wasn't lecturing to me, who was talking to me, you know, as a man, and telling me, look, you know, you made an appointment to be here. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. But Dave gave me a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. Dave planted a seed about entrepreneurship because I didn't know how I was going to get out of my situation. I didn't know how I was going to get out of the neighborhood. I didn't know how I was going to change things. And Dave planted the seed that later led to me understanding that entrepreneurship was my way out. My last felony arrest, I was 24 years old and sitting on the bullpen floor of the Milwaukee County Jail. It was on that floor waiting to go to court. It was July 4th, 1993. Just a miserable, miserable experience. 4 days sitting there waiting. I finally get through that thing, but it was there on that floor. I said, yes, I was a loser. Yes, I was a drug addict. Yes, I was a criminal. All these things, that the adjectives that were used to describe me, that's who I was, not who I would be going forward. And that I made a decision that day. And from that day forward, I never was arrested again, never did drugs again. And I started to work. And unfortunately, man, it took me a long time. It took me 7 years as a full-time entrepreneur to finally crack $100,000 in a single year. But from there, you know, it went crazy. The next year was 200,000. Then it was over a million, then a couple million a year, and a quarter million in residual income every single month. So, but yeah, we focused on, I've owned a lot of companies, from real estate, publishing companies, mixed martial arts, cage fighting companies. We launched the Build Your Empire brand on social media that took off. And we're, you know, doing tons of events around the world with that brand. Today, as a matter of fact, Monday, we pre-launched what I think is the premier, most relevant health and wellness company on the planet, Oh Snap Active Lifestyle, where we're bringing to the marketplace a new delivery technology. We call them snap packs, you know, no more, you know, hard to swallow pills, messy powders, or sugary gummies. I'm not trying to do a commercial for it, but it's just my style as an entrepreneur, man. This is what we do. But yeah, we've been building businesses now for 27 years. And again, because nobody would hire me, I was forced into entrepreneurship, and thank God that that's the path that we ended up taking.
I love that, man. So I got to know, after going through all of that, how did you start building up your confidence to be at the level that you're at now?
Man, yeah, you know, it's funny. I used to joke around, and I would do this training, and in my training, I would talk about confidence. You know, confidence is the great separator. You know, confidence is the reason beautiful women go out with ugly guys. You know, I'm a great example. If you see my wife, you're like, dang, you know, it's there's a confidence, and there's something different between cockiness and confidence. I, when I was young, when I was in my 20s, what I had was cockiness. You know, I'm rolling through my neighborhood in my Pontiac 2000 two-tone, one-tone rust, one-tone dirt, but still I had an ego. Still I had a, you know, I thought I was, you know, badass. I thought I was all these things. So confidence was developed over a period of time, and it was developed from the inside, where cockiness is developed from the outside. Cockiness is that, you know, let me take some pictures with Lamborghinis and in front of mansions and pretend like they're mine and walk around like I'm a big shot. Where when you have real confidence, you don't have to say a word. When you have real confidence, you know, the you're being introduced before you ever even walk into the room. And I never had that. It took me a long, long time to get that. And I can't tell you, I can tell you that it was something that really started to happen when I stopped caring what other people think. Now I care about people, but there was a massive switch that the day when I really was set free, and it really is a freedom thing, because the reason why so many people are cocky is because they care so much about what people think. When you get around genuinely confident people that own themselves, they know who they are, they know whose they are, they know what they stand for, they don't really care what you think. I wrote a book with a guy named Les Brown, motivational speaker Les Brown. Terrible book, by the way. His part was great, my part sucked, but if anybody wants it, I'll send it to you. You can use it for fire kindling, many years ago. But Les Brown used to say, it's none of my spiritual business what you think about me. I don't think you truly can develop an inner confidence until you realize that what other people think about you, what their opinions are of you, none of that matters anymore. When you know that you're doing every single day what you are purposed to do, what you're supposed to do every single day. And you know that, look, you're going to find me at the top of this mountain. You're going to find me dead on the side of the mountain trying to get there. There'll be no fronting. There'll be no false flag and no playing games. I'm going there regardless of what anybody says or what everybody thinks. That's the day when you start to really develop the inner confidence. And it's something that I believe starts when you stop caring about, you know, what people think about you and what you're driving and what you're wearing and how much money you have in your bank account or how big you're flossing at the clubs. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. That makes perfect sense. So I do got to ask you, I have an audience of a lot of underdogs. You probably don't know this, but I would, like, 4 or 5 years ago, I was addicted to drugs. I was depressed. I was suicidal. And so I attract a lot of those people, especially because I like to bring on underdogs like yourself. So what advice would you give to somebody who's maybe in a position they're trying to get out of, maybe they just got out of prison? Like, what steps would you advise somebody to take if they're just trying to move forward and figure out where they're going and in what direction?
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is what a mentor told me is, I used to think that I had a disadvantage. You know, I used to use all the things that we talk about when I just, you know, describe where I came from. I used to use my criminal record. I used to use my lack of education, my inability to communicate well, the way I looked. I used a lot of these things as excuses, whether they were outright excuses that I said or excuses I used in my own mind as the reason not to be successful. And I had a mentor come in my life. He said, look, man, he said, you have a massive, massive advantage. You don't realize it yet, but let me tell you what it is. He said, I can teach anybody business skills. I can teach anybody business skills. You can now, and that was back in the days when we didn't have, like, you know, Google, we didn't have access to the stuff that we have access today. So I can teach anybody this stuff. But he said, what I cannot teach, I can't teach this sixth sense that underdogs usually have. People have been taken advantage of, people that have been beat up, beat down, downtrodden. There's a sixth sense, like a street smarts, that I cannot teach. And that gives you a massive, massive advantage. And the day you figure out how to utilize that, will be the day everything changes for you. So for me, when I was early on, I started to catch on. First off, I started to use my, what were at one point my excuses. You know, my excuses, I have no money. Well, that I started to switch in my mind. That's no longer the excuse to not be successful. That is now the reason to be successful. You know, I had a daughter, you know, early on, and in the beginning, she was kind of the excuse, like, well, I can't because I have this kid, or I got this response. And it became, no, she is my responsibility. So she became the reason, my responsibility, I stopped using as my excuse and started making it my reason. So the first step I would do, if if I was starting all over, I would take out a piece of paper and I would take inventory of myself. Who the hell am I? What skills do I have? What skills do I know I lack? And I would figure out who I am, and I'd write those things down. I'd draw a line down a piece of paper. What do I know I'm good at? What am I bad at? And you know, really, really dig deep. And then the areas where I'm weak, which for me, that whole paper was all weaknesses, or it seemed to be. There was, I had some strengths, but I didn't give myself credit for them. Later on, they came out. I started to search out people, books, seminars, you know, people, places, things that had the solutions to my weaknesses that could offset those weaknesses. The beauty of shows like this, bro, I love this because today there's no excuse, man. There's so, you can get the information. You can become strong where you're weak, and you don't necessarily have to work on those strengths. You just got to get around people that have those strengths. And that was for me the big game changer. I realized that I could get laser focused on where I was strong, because society will pay big money for someone who's a 10 in a particular category. Society doesn't pay big money for fives and sixes. So I said, look, if I'm a two in a particular area, let's say, like for me, mathematics, I don't know why my brain just doesn't function around it very well. I'm a two in maths, but I caught on. I can use calculators. I can increase that a little bit, but I got accountants. I got bookkeepers. I got people that handle that stuff for me. So I never have to think about it. And that allows me to go focus in the areas where, you know, where I was a six or a seven to become a 10. And that had massive, massive impact. Again, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. I subscribe to the slight edge philosophy. And I would encourage anybody who has been beat up, who's behind on life, you know, in debt, struggling, whatever, trying to make ends meet. There's no secret sauce. There's no special secret. I used to think you had to be born in the house with the Rolls Royce already in the garage, but I caught on. I could start to beat everybody with simple disciplines every single day. What I could do is I could read 15 to 20 pages of a good book every single day. And in a year, 2 years, 3 years, I would completely separate myself from most of the people around me. The same thing with health. You know, now I'm 50 today, but I'm in better health than I was when I was in my 20s. I outrun 20-year-olds, push it. I mean, this is what I do. I focus my, you know, I want to have big, big energy for my family, for what I'm doing. So what I do is I make sure, you know, instead of eating the Big Mac, which would be an error in judgment, I watch what I put in my body, and it takes a little more discipline, just a little bit more. It's easy to do. It's also easy not to do. And I just keep those simple disciplines every single day, because it's not the one Big Mac that takes you out. It's the combination over a period of time that, you know, when you're 50, you're sluggish, the light has gone out of your eyes, your skin looks like shit, you got no energy. And if we could get young people especially to catch on to this stuff early, man, they would just crush their competition. So those are a couple of things that, you know, I would use a slight edge. And I would take inventory of myself and then start to find the people and associate with the people around me that have the strengths and have the solutions, not rather than my problems.
I love that, man. So I saw a video from you not too long ago, and I just got to ask, what does being humble mean to you?
You know, for me, it's allowing other people to shine. That's one of the pieces. I don't need the limelight. I don't need the light. I get the light quite a bit, but my responsibility, especially within my team, it's to, if I get the light shined on me, my responsibility is immediately, put the light on them. It's always like, you know, I don't know if you notice when I'm talking a lot of times, I always say we. It's become my habit, even if I'm just talking about me. You very seldom hear me say me, myself, and I, because nothing that I've done, nothing that I've become happened because me, myself, and I, it was always other people were involved. Everything I say to you on this call, I'm just regurgitating things that great people in my life, whether through books or mentors or seminars I heard before. So I, for me, a lot of it is not taking credit for everything. It's, you know, it's Bill Russell. I love basketball, and Bill Russell was one of the greatest players to ever play the game. I think they had, I don't know, 12 championships or something while he played. His philosophy was always pass before shoot. It was always about the team, you know, because great teams get the ring. Now, I know today it's different. The highlight reel is important. You know, your big check and all that. The game has changed a lot. But for me, it's pass before shoot. It's, you know, how can I give other people the light? And you know, people will cheer on guys with big egos, but But when you fall, they're also there to kick you in the teeth. They're the first one. You know, Grant Cardone, if we watch Grant Cardone, you know, he did that whole thing. He's got that show, The Billionaire, whatever. And for a while there, people were like, thought Grant was had fallen off. And people came like crazy to kick Grant in the teeth, to talk crazy. Some of the same people that were buying tickets to his stuff. And when he was on, when they thought he was on top of the world, they were all on his jock. And as soon as they saw a crack, or they thought they saw a crack, which was he fabricated that crack, they were there like crazy throwing rocks at him. So I warned people. I said, look, you can be as egotistical as you want, and they're going to shine up. They're going to show up and clap for you right now, but dare fall slightly, you know. But if you've been humble all along the way, man, people show up and open doors for you and try to figure out how they can help you get back to where you were and provide resources and things like that. So there's a couple things to think about. There's a great book called I forget the name. Ego is the Enemy. And I live by that. Matter of fact, I have that tattooed on my hand, on my writing hand. So whenever I'm signing contracts or anything, I see it. Ego is the Enemy. It reminds me to stay humble. And my mentor, the last thing I say, I had a mentor who used to say, when you forget where you came from, you're on your way back. And I remember one month, I made like $14,000 for a month, which for me was a lot of money at the time. And you couldn't talk to me, man. There's a song that goes like, wait till I get my money right. You can't talk to me or something like that. And that was me, man. I was just an arrogant idiot. And I thought that I was something special. And my mentor said, I'm not talking to you until you get your shit together, until you get off your high horse. And he said, call me back when you humble yourself, because you're going to lose everything you've got. And you don't have much, even though you think you do. Anyway, so I had good mentors that came in and would slap me around and put me back in my place. Because there's always someone bigger, faster, smarter, sharper, richer. It's always going to be that way. So just, you know, I focus on being the best human being I can be. And how can I lift other people, empower, equip, and move people to the next level? Long answer, but you hit on a topic that's very dear to me, because I see a lot of people that are just, you know, walking all over people, talking shit to people. They talk bad to janitors. They talk like shit to waiters. They treat people like garbage unless those people can do something for them. And that stuff does not sit well with me.
Yeah, it's way too common. But you keep talking about mentors, so I gotta ask, like, what do you look for in a mentor? And at your level, how do you even find a mentor?
Man, mentors have ever been everything for me. Like I said, one of my early mentors was in the drug rehabilitation. I wasn't looking for a mentor. A mentor found me, and he showed up and started to veer my life on track. Because you look at my house, there was three people in the house: my brother, my sister, she died of a heroin overdose. My brother has been in and out of prison his entire life. How does one make it? And two don't. Well, mentors. And most of the time I wasn't looking for those mentors. They found me when I got involved in business, because I didn't have the credentials. Nobody would hire me. All these doors got slammed in my face. I ended up in a network marketing company, and it was there that I ended up with a mentor by the name of Jim Rohn. Some people know Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn had an incentive to be a mentor because he would earn an override, or could earn an override if I produced. And that was incentive enough for him to teach me. And I didn't know at the time, you know, I mean, I knew the man was brilliant, but I didn't realize how, you know, he later on, a lot of people know, you know, he was Tony Robbins' mentor and just an unbelievable philosopher and incredible man. But it was chance encounters like that where the right people came in my life. And then later on, I realized that as I expanded, I had to expand my circle. And I never wanted to be the guy in my circle. I wanted to be, you know, if I had five people around me, I wanted to be the lowest guy in the totem pole amongst those five. So then I started looking for people that were, you know, three things: burning desire, willing to work, coachable. I was looking for those humble hustlers that, you know, Paul J. Meyer, billionaire, came into my life again through a network marketing company. And this dude taught me the art of giving. And, you know, the guy was in his 80s, climbing mountains, scuba diving, working, you know, 12-hour days only to give 100% of every dollar he made. He said making money for him was a selfish thing because he loved to give it so much. So he kept working only to keep giving his money away. And so I just was fortunate, man, that as I was looking to advance myself, kind of the right people show up. There's a saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So trying to force mentorship, like now, you know, I got all these coaches and gurus selling you mentorship. And I'm not, I have nothing against all that. I just, I tell people buyer beware, you know, because, you know, I guess there's incentive, you know, cash wise, but make sure these people have track records, make sure they have integrity, make sure they have character, make sure that the reason for doing it is right. Otherwise you're going to walk away, you know, with debt and disappointment.
Absolutely, man. So what questions do you ask? And like, are there ways that you see through like some of the fake gurus that are out there? Cause it seems to be way, way, way too common right now.
Dude, it is hard, man. I'm glad I'm not out looking for, you know, actually looking for something. What I tell people is figure out where you want to play. If you want to be in business, well, figure out in that category who you respect, who you think is the best in that area, and then see what you can do to get proximity. Doesn't mean you need access. Maybe they wrote a book, maybe they had an audio program, maybe there's stuff on YouTube that you can access first. That's how some of my mentors came to be, like Les Brown. I ended up writing a book with him, but he was my mentor through audios. You know, I was listening to his stuff on audio, and through little chance encounters, I eventually met the man. And, you know, Mark Victor Hansen, I think today he's the largest selling author in the world, second only to the Bible. You know, he became a friend of mine who was someone I listened to through his teachings. So I would look for people that are putting out great content. I would look for people that are in, you know, the realm you want to be. If they're too accessible, it makes me wonder, if I should even be asking them questions. If, you know, like there's so many life coaches that haven't even lived life. I know so many life coaches that are broke, and it's interesting to me that these life coaches are charging people to help them with their life, but they can't even get their shit together. I know life coaches that are unhealthy and, you know, they eat like shit. And I'm like, bro, I you know, some of them are my friends, so I don't want to call anyone out, but I'm just amazed that people, maybe it's just the desperation of people. And now, like, everybody wants to be a damn motivational speaker. And, you know, I tell people, accuse me of being a motivational speaker. I'm like, look, I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm an entrepreneur that speaks. You know, I got paid speaking gigs only because I built massive audiences of my own salespeople, of my own teams, you know, that led to me speaking in these, you know, big auditoriums and, you know, stuff like that. So I don't really know what to ask people. I would look for the best of the best in whatever category that I'm shooting for, and see if I can get access to them through their content they put out, and then figure out, like, well, now it sucks because of COVID a little bit, but, you know, when some of these people end up, you know, speaking on at live events, if I knew somebody that I thought was the deal was speaking somewhere, I would hop in my beat up ass car on a prayer, hoping the thing would make, I don't care if they were 12 hours away. I would drive there. I would sleep in the car. I would wash up in public restrooms. I mean, I was just hungry. I wanted it so bad. And I knew there were certain people I wanted to get the information from. I remember one of my early mentors was in a bar. He was sitting at the bar with a bunch of his friends. He was talking. I was standing, and the place was kind of packed. I was standing behind them. It sounds weird now that I say it, but I was standing behind them just listening, man. I wanted to soak up any. I just wanted to be in proximity. I wanted to be in that orbit. And then, you know, it was kind of a situation where I was able to buy him a beer, and we had a little conversation, and later on we end up, you know, connecting and doing a business deal. So I don't know, man. I think forcing it is very difficult, but I think if you can provide value for people sometimes. I won a contest one time that allowed me the right to pick up Les Brown in my vehicle. At that time, he was married to Gladys Knight, the singer. And I won a sales contest that gave me the right to pick him up in our city and drive him to the venue. So that was a chance encounter, but I won that. I provided value for someone else. I sold, you know, more than anybody else, and I got to go do that. And that encounter led to Les and I having a relationship.
That's awesome, man. So let's be honest. Most people in the entrepreneurial space, they really do branding just wrong. But you've been able to build one of the most iconic brands in the entrepreneur space, to build your empire brand. What do you think plays into building a brand that actually stands out from the rest?
Man, that's a great question. You know, I think first you have to believe in it. it's funny to me that we have to teach people now to be authentic, which is really weird to me. You know, we're teaching people authentic. And I think that's why some of these brands just don't work, is because it just doesn't feel, it feels like something's off and you can't always put your finger on it. But that's a big part of it is, you know, believing in your brand, you know, really with everything you've got, not just that it's just about, you know, I think most of these brands start because it's all about how much money can I make with this brand? And again, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, Apple's got this massive iconic brand, and I don't know exactly what they were talking about in the early stages, but I can tell you, you know, Steve Jobs and Wozniak and these guys behind it, man, they were wacko, committed, obsessed with that brand. And it took a long, long time. If you know, Apple almost went out of business, you know, the whole thing. But the obsession behind the brand, I think, is more important than the brand itself. You know, when you talk about Google, you take, you know, Sergey, you know, those guys, that there was an obsession there. So, you know, I just think a lot of guys aren't really obsessed with their brand. They just put it out there because they think it's a way for them to make some money. Just like there's so many podcasts today. How do you separate yourself from the masses with a podcast? Well, be freaking obsessed with your podcast and really delivering value to your audience. You know, like I know you're looking for people that connect to, you've identified who your audience is. You know who that is. You understand that. And you're looking for people that will connect. That tells me that you are obsessed at least enough to understand I've got to get the right people in front of my audience in order for my brand to expand. And whether that's your goal or not, but that's what will automatically happen. And the other thing is most people won't put the time, the energy, or the money into it because they don't personally believe in it enough. So no one else is going to believe in it. I'm sorry for the long answers, but you're hitting on some good questions, bro.
That's good. I brought you on here because I wanted to hear you talk, my man.
Appreciate it, man.
Awesome, man. Well, let's talk a little bit about Oh Snap. After all the companies that you've launched at this point, what are you doing differently in this company, or what are you implementing that's worked really well after doing so many launches in your life?
Well, it's something that goes back to one of your early questions about mentors. You know, I did this. There was a guy that a lot of people felt had scammed them in the entrepreneurial space. And I had shared a stage with him somewhere, and somehow a couple people put me in the same category with him. I knew who he was. We didn't have a relationship, but I launched a mentoring program, and I said, look, anybody that felt like they were scammed by this guy, I'll come over here and I'll mentor you for free. And it was supposed to be a 90-day thing. We called it the 90-day run, and it ended up going for like a year and a half. And one thing I'm doing much different with the Oh Snap brand is I'm saying, look, bring me these people that just haven't been able to get traction. Bring me these people that are looking, that have the hunger, that you got to be hungry. No, I don't, you know, if you don't have a hunger, then I'm not the guy to call. But if you got a hunger, you got burning desire, and you're willing to work, and you know, then and you're coachable, then come to me. So what I'm doing with Oh Snap, I'm saying, look, you don't have to pay for a mentor. Come to me and I'll pay you to mentor you, because we'll work in real time. You know, I'm developing another massive company. My partner is, you know, Liqueur Nutraceuticals, which is our multi-billion dollar backbone. And you want to learn how to scale a business? Well, I'll show you that. You want to learn leadership? I'll show you that. You want to learn how to speak on a stage? I'll show you that. You want to learn communication, marketing, branding, you know, accounting. I don't care what it is. Every aspect of building a business, you know, we're teaching, you know, from, you know, IT all the way through. And we're doing it through our ambassador program. So I'm bringing a massive, massive amount of ambassadors on, and we'll expand all over the world. And it really is a leadership development program more than anything. And then we're bringing, you know, world-class nutrition products with a twist, you know, instead of, like I said earlier, pills and powders and gummies and all the stuff that we see everywhere. We're bringing these revolutionary, super convenient snap packs. You know, just to visualize it, you take this pack, you put it between your thumb and your index finger, and you snap it, and you squeeze the liquid nutrition. You know, it's designed to go into a glass. I take a shot to the head, but you know, it depends on what you do. It's around sleep and energy, greens, things like that. But you know, there's a lot of benefits. And then it's not just saying that we got great products. We then have clinical studies around, you know, brain and cellular repair and, and energy and nitric oxide, all these different things. So we deliver world-class products, but we then cut people in. Like I say, look, when I make $20 million, my team makes $100 million. Normally, you know, the CEO makes $100 million and maybe the team makes $20 million. So we're flipping this thing upside down because we need a change. You know, a lot of these affiliate programs that people are part of are really just great customer acquisition programs for these companies. You know, if you're a rep for, and I'm not going to say any names, but they're all about the same. You're an affiliate for a company. You send them a customer. Well, great. You get paid. Well, what if that customer refers a customer? And now, well, you're now cut out. And that's usually what happens. Or, you know, if that company launches a different product and even the people you refer, they go and buy that product without your connecting them, you're cut out again. And so we created a system where everybody's cut in. If you know, 30 people later buy the product, you're cut in because everything's going to have to go through that original person. Because we have a whole team. We don't have what we call what these companies have, you know, lots of, which are orphan accounts. We don't have orphan accounts. If a customer comes to our company, they can only come in through, you know, one of our ambassadors. So we take the extra time, have our customer support people to call the customer and find out exactly how they found their way to our company. And then we then make sure that we track that person down, and then we make sure that they get paid. So we track people down to pay them. And that changes the game. That builds a whole new level of loyalty. It's something that people are not used to. They realize that we're not just giving lip service to community culture and compensation, you know, that we're living it every single day. So that's a much different approach. Not I'm gonna say for me, it's a much more aggressive approach. It's always been our approach, but we're aggressively pursuing that approach today.
Awesome, man. I love that. So obviously that's probably going to be the best way to get involved with you. If you're not going to go sell some Oh Snap products to get some freaking coaching from John Maylott, you're probably an idiot. But what is the best way for people to get involved with you and see more of you, man?
Well, that's it right now, because I've sold. Prior to this, I knew I was putting all my resources behind this. My time, energy, financial resources all are going into Oh Snap. So the best way, if somebody, you know, is interested, if they've got a passion, you know, for business, they got a passion for helping people, they want to change their life, you know, maybe health and wellness is an area that they're interested in, then I would just, the best way to reach me is through, they can go to my OSNAP, so MY and then OS, it's not OH, it's OSNAP.com/Maylott, MALOTT. You know, they can go there and they can join as an ambassador. And then I know what I get hit, you know, from that, because of that link, everything gets clicked to me. And then they can hit me up. And at that point, then they have access to my cell phone. They have access to our weekly coaching. We're building an app. Well, we have the app. We launch it on next week, Saturday. It's a sales funnel right in the palm of your hand, customer management system, accounting system, marketing, tracking. We build incredible viral social media tools for our ambassadors. It just makes them look like geniuses. And then it's all connected to our compensation plan. And then, of course, they can also follow me. You can find me on Instagram, at John.Maylott, MALOTT.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I mean, you dropped so many bombs. It was freaking incredible. I know my audience is going to get so much out of this.
Well, man, I appreciate you, brother. It's my pleasure doing this. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Just stay focused, stay in the game. This is the kind of stuff that has a massive, massive impact. We need more people that are bringing value to the marketplace. We need more people that are providing information and tools and equipping people. You know, it's not going to be our politicians that change this world. It's going to be the entrepreneurs. It always has been and always will be. So I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
100%, man. I appreciate you. And we're very fanatical about the Virtually Limitless brand. This thing's going to change the world one day.
I see it, man. That's why I'm on here. Keep doing you.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review. And check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.